All right, welcome back. Question: what design law principles should be considered in the area of medical aid in dying and euthanasia? In the extremes of hospice care, is it ever permissible for a follower of Christ to participate either passively or actively in euthanasia, medical assistance, medical aid in dying? Neither of which are legal in the United States, but they are in Canada and in the Netherlands and in other countries. So this issue is basically a hand grenade. It's a functional hand grenade. It's just like the abortion issue. It is polarizing. There are extremes of both sides. It produces some significant strong opinions on both sides of that issue. And I refer back to Romans 15, Romans 14:5. Let everyone be convinced in their own mind. Now, consider the issue of conscience. Consider the two stories of Alvin York, who's otherwise known as Sergeant York. He was the most decorated soldier, U.S. soldier of World War I. And Desmond Doss, who was one of the most highly decorated soldiers in World War II in the United States. Sergeant York received the Medal of Honor for leading an attack on a German machine gun position, gathering 35 machine guns, killing at least 25 enemy soldiers, and capturing 132 prisoners. Desmond Doss, however, served as a medic and is credited with rescuing dozens of servicemen while under heavy fire. Both of them served their countries in ways according to each of their individual consciences. One guy thought that being a warrior was the best way to serve his country. The other thought that healing and rescuing was the best way to serve his country. I'm going to suggest to you that neither of them is wrong. And this issue of medical assistance in dying is one of those issues where it's a matter of personal conscience. Now, I've gone down some deep, dark rabbit holes on black market organ harvesting that is coming about as a result of some of these programs, the euthanasia, especially in China and Israel, that people are being terminated early in order just to get their hearts and lungs and corneas and kidneys and livers and whatever else is available for sale on the black market human organ market. Deep rabbit holes. Good luck if you go down. They're dark.
Well, one of the things that makes me, because I'm a retired nurse and taking care of a lot of people in that situation, some of which have looked up and said, you know, how long does it take to die? Can you help me?
Yep. I don't want to live anymore.
But when you think of our medical prowess, so to speak, we can do almost nothing we can do today 100 years ago. And probably in 100 years from now, we'll look like barbarians. But right now, we have medical care that can sustain life artificially, or prolong it, or so on. And so because we have those tools, we use them.
Yep.
But if we didn't use them and let nature take its course, many of the things that, you know, where people think of euthanasia and all that, many of that just wouldn't be a problem.
Right.
They are artificially already being kept alive. To supersede what nature would normally do, or the sin problem would normally do.
Yeah.
But we intervene in every possible way, and then we're conflicted when, well, should we remove what we did, and so on. And sometimes it's kinder just to let nature take its course rather than prolong the whole experience.
Agreed.
Quickly, Desmond Doss was a man of principle, and I don't mean to take anything away from his, you know, the conviction that most of us have that he stood for saving life rather than taking life. That he was a non-combatant or he was a
conscientious objector
to killing. Okay. I'm sure that given other circumstances, he could have had other reasons for coming to that conclusion. But the way he actually got to that conclusion is that his father and his uncle had a gunfight, and his mother made him promise that he would never handle firearms to harm anybody.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, it's actually in one of the documentaries about him. And that is the real reason that he wouldn't handle a rifle or a firearm. You know?
Okay. All right, next question. I wake up extremely tired every morning. I've been told I don't have sleep apnea. I sleep 8 hours, eat healthy, drink plenty of water, exercise daily, etc. When I take half a bottle of a 5-hour energy, and for those who don't know what 5-hour energy is, it's a little tiny bottle of liquid vitamins. No, there's no energy in it, and caffeine. I take half a bottle of 5-hour energy, and it gives me the energy to live life for the day. When I read a quote like this, like the following, I feel guilty and wonder if I should be not be taking the caffeine. Quote, tea and coffee drinking is a sin. It is an injurious indulgence, which, like other evils, injures the soul. This is from CD, Councils on Diets and Foods, I guess, 425. Any suggestions for more energy? I'm 67 years old. So,
as a nurse, there's things that she could be tested for that she doesn't have. If she hasn't been fully tested for things, like, for example, B12, low B12 can cause you just to be lethargic and so on.
Yeah.
And it's easily replaced, but it's not checked in the normal blood test that they do. You have to order it, the doctor has to order it separately, and you have to be MP, or you can't eat or drink for, or eat at least for certain number of hours before you take that test. So consequently, most people are not tested for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know that they're low on B12. And this is a problem that can be easily fixed. I know in my case, I was still wanting to take naps all the time, and they found out I have pernicious anemia, which is the need for B12.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is only one of many, many examples of underlying medical problems.
Right.
Could be
thyroid dysfunction, prediabetes.
Psychological side,
yeah.
She could be depressed.
Well, I don't know if it's male or female. My question is, who told you have sleep apnea? Was it a physician or was it your spouse? Sleep apnea is if you're getting 8 hours of sleep, and you're still waking up feeling tired. I think sleep apnea is it may require further investigation. Now, if you've had an actual sleep study with an EEG hooked up and et cetera, and it's been ruled out, then you're going to have to investigate further, like blood tests, B12, thyroid function, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to get back to the caffeine thing, because I did some research on 5-hour energy. That contains 200 to 230s of caffeine, which is roughly the same as an 8-ounce cup of coffee. If you're consuming half of a shot, that's 4 ounces of coffee. I don't think that much caffeine is giving you the energy to, quote, live your life, live the rest of your day. It was interesting language that was used there. And this is a quote from the direct quote from the question. When I take half a bottle of five hour energy, it gives me the energy to live life for the day. First of all, caffeine doesn't provide any usable energy. It has no caloric benefit. Our system can't burn it as energy. Caffeine actually blocks our energy producing mechanism. It attaches to receptors in the brain that trick the brain into thinking you're alert, and it stimulates nervous system and the heart rate, so you get a feeling of alertness, but it doesn't provide you any energy. It's all psychological. If you think you're more energetic by consuming caffeine, it's in your head, figuratively and literally. As for coffee or tea, caffeine consumption being, quote, a sin, my personal opinion on this is that Ellen White was wrong on that issue. Just like she was wrong on the 18th Amendment issue, the prohibition issue. She supported the 18th Amendment, the restriction of freedom to consume alcohol. That's not God's methodology, to impose laws to restrict freedom. And the 18th Amendment was repealed a decade or so later. Peter was wrong when he was preferring the company of his fellow Jews and shunning the company of the Gentiles. Paul called him out on it. Just because...
All because of what they ate, right?
Yeah. Again, on issues of diet. Yeah, good point. Those who we hold out as prophets or those who we recognize as apostles, disciples, et cetera, they're still fallible humans.
Yeah.
And they can be wrong. And we don't have to surrender our thinking entirely to their opinions. We can investigate things for ourselves and come to our own conclusions. Current science now shows that consumption of black coffee has a number of brain benefits. And again, I go back to Romans 14:5. Let everyone be convinced in their own minds. All right, last question. I wonder about secular musicians performing sacred work, particularly singers who are singing the text content. They get paid to sing a gig. The performance is a sincerely acted portrayal, and the audience may very well be touched. But to them, it's essentially another role and perhaps not something they're actually aligned with spiritually. What do you think about quantum energy transfer to the audience and what happens within the singer themselves? This is a fascinating question, because I've had some... my musical tastes have changed dramatically from when I was in academy in early 20s to what they are now. And I think it's an evidence of some transformation that's occurred in my heart and character, where the things that I used to listen to don't appeal to me anymore. 10 people can listen to any given song, and you'll get 10 different opinions, 10 different, the music will speak to them 10 different ways. As for quantum issues, again, I think it depends on the individual involved, it depends on the performer, it depends on the listener. My understanding of quantum mechanics is pretty small. We don't know what their motives are. We can't read their consciences. Think about it in the reverse. What about sacred artists performing secular songs? What does anything change there? The law of liberty is beautiful. Let everyone be convinced in their own mind. All right.
Can I add something? To my mind, this is when a person brings up something as sophisticated as quantum, whatever, you know, they're looking for levels of logic and of reasoning involved in this type of thing. Again, and not to beat a dead horse or anything, not dead for sure, but anyway, logic does not add up to truth. In every instance, and especially not in the sense that if you are making presumptions about anything in this equation, it's not necessarily truth.
Agreed. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thank you.
You too.